Hey, it's Chris Duker for GeekNerdNet.com, and sometimes we like to delve into the pulp culture outside of indie comics, and this is one of those times, and I'm here with the director and producer of a play called King Kirby that's being held at Sage Theatre in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and Jason Memel joins us. Jason, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. So this show started in New York and also played in Seattle. And this week is on. Give us the dates, and it's a Canadian premiere. Just give us a little rundown and taste of the show.
Sure. Yeah. So we run from April 15th, which was yesterday actually, to the 23rd, and we're in the Pump House Theaters here in Calgary, Alberta. The show is the Canadian debut. So this is these audiences are the first Canadians to ever see the show. The show is basically the life and times of Jack Kirby from age 8 to 80. We cover pretty much every major high point in his career, and we also explain why you don't know who Jack Kirby is, or at least why many people don't know who Jack Kirby is. We're familiar with the Avengers, the Fantastic Four, the X-Men, Captain America, the Hulk, but we don't know the person who created those characters, and that was Jack Kirby.
Yeah, and exactly. And for those that, just to give you a little bit more background, Marvel Comics, one of the biggest juggernauts in the industry, the big two outside, you know, one of the big two outside of DC. For years, Stan Lee is, rightly or wrongly, whichever way you want to sit on the fence, is to gain most of the, I'd say, fame, notoriety, whatever, however you want to call it. Again, everyone has their opinions. They were a fantastic creative team. And over the years, you know, Jack Kirby sort of fell into the background, right? And this is about bringing that story to light. I mean, not just that, but his whole life. But this is a big part of it, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What we touch on is, I think, the play is in two acts. And in the first act, I think we touch on what made Jack Kirby such a juggernaut in the industry himself. And in the second act, we sort of get into the energy that Jack brought to his comics, and how that essentially birthed Marvel Comics as we know it, and also created the Marvel style, the dynamic, energetic style that, along with Stan Lee, essentially reinvented the form of superheroes.
Yeah, totally. In Calgary here, there's a few podcasts, but one of our friends of the show, We Talk Comics, great guys. We kind of have some overlapping questions, so I'm going to help them out a bit and ask some of their questions as well that are pretty much the same as mine. Tell us why it's important to you. Why is this show, what's it mean to you to have this, not only just get the idea to want to work on something like this, but all of a sudden it's happening now?
I think it was, this is something that's come up a lot as I think about this during rehearsal, is that the characters that Jack created are characters that I've been passionate about for a long, long time. But I think in our culture, we often don't explore the things behind the things that we love. And this was sort of my chance to get into that, to explore the genesis of a lot of these things, which is often coming from perspectives that we never expected. Like that Captain America came about as a response to World War II itself, but also to stand in opposition or in to be an innovative step away from the Superman clones that were being regurgitated by a lot of the comics publishers at the time. So I think for me, this Jack's story was a way for me to explore my own appreciation and to try to come to terms with how I feel about those creations and about how I feel about those creators. Yeah.
Nice. Well, also, why don't you tell us about the screenwriters for the play itself, where that started, and obviously where it's gone to, and now it's here in Calgary, in Canada. For those that don't know, the background of it.
Yeah. The play is written by Fred Van Lent and Crystal Skillman. Fred Van Lent is a comic book writer himself. He's written for pretty much all of the major companies, and as well has done a comic book history of comics, which actually influences King Kirby, I think, quite a bit. And then his wife, Crystal Skillman, who is a playwright. And I think they really kind of melded their two crafts together really well to bring the sense of history and of research that Fred brought to the comic book history, and then Crystal's sense of dramaturgy and theatricality that helped take us through Kirby's life in about 90 minutes in a way that never seems, I think, rushed or overly dense. And I found the play, actually. I found the play on Twitter when I think Fred had tweeted about it. Just something about, like, oh, hey, such and such is happening with my play. And I just tweeted at him. I'm like, there's a play about Kirby? I run a theater company. I think I'm interested. He sent me the script. I read it. I liked it. And then after a while, we programmed it in our season and started hiring actors. And, yeah, the rest is history.
Well, definitely, there's definitely a lot of history in the show. A show, an entertaining like this, like I said off the top, you're pretty much doing everything, how did you go about casting this crew, to have, you have a certain vision of it, you know the vision from the page, but, your personal preference comes in there too. So, how long was that process? Did you have actors in mind already that you thought, this person would be great for that, this girl would be great for that? Or was it sort of a surprise through the casting that you're like, oh, okay, wait a minute, this person's going to be good? You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. And I think casting is always such a tricky business because it's the most complicated job interview that anyone's ever done. I think what I was looking for Kirby and for Stan Lee were actors... actors who had a lot of experience and craft already under their belts, and that's how I came to find Robert Klein and David Lorraine. Actually, a quick story about Robert Klein is that Robert was working on King Lear, and that was a co-production between Theatre Calgary and Bart on the Beach in Vancouver. He was in Vancouver in production for that show when I Skyped him for an audition 2 weeks earlier. He'd been at the hairdresser's for Bart on the Beach. They were prepping him for the show. And that hairdresser had comic book characters on her mirror. And that reignited for Robert a passion for drawing, because he used to draw a lot as a kid. So he picked up a pencil again, and about 2 weeks later, I gave him a call to audition for Kirby. David Lorraine, the guy playing Stan Lee, actually also auditioned for Kirby. But in the process, we just talked about the different characters, and we mentioned Stan Lee. And then he read a bit of it just for the heck of it, and it was such a good audition that I cast him for that role. The other characters, I did do auditions to try to see different people, and a lot of people did surprise me. It's always that mix. Sometimes you try to find people to surprise you, but you also are often looking at the people you already know and seeing where their skills lie and trying to adapt them as best as possible.
Right. Well, I love that kind of inside story where you have, there's a guy getting his hair cut and there's a bunch of comics sitting there. Of course, like you said, 2 weeks later, you call him up. It's funny how just the right moment and all these, things come together, right? Mm-hmm. Now the show runs till April 23rd. Like I said, it's Sage Theater. Now, is there any plans? Have you thought, you've been very busy, obviously, getting this off the ground. Have you thought, hey, want to extend it, or maybe we'll bring it back at some point? Can you? Will you? What's the thought process there?
The business of professional theater in Canada is pretty complicated, so we don't currently have plans to do an extension. Maybe if the entire show were to sell out tomorrow, which it hasn't yet, so buy your tickets. But then maybe we would try to find a way to make something happen. I think there's actually probably another show that's already scheduled to go into our space. But I think if the response is good, the idea of bringing the show back, I think, wouldn't be impossible. The cast seems to really enjoy the process and the show and working together, and I think we've come up with a really solid production. So, there's no reason we couldn't bring it back if the response was there.
Nice. So as of today, April 16th, there's a night show Saturday night, and then you have a matinee and an evening show Sunday, and then off Monday, and then through the rest of the evenings, the rest of the week. Why don't you give the times and let people know where they can buy tickets, when they can see it, and nerd out and all that good stuff.
Oh, sure. So you can buy tickets at sagetheater.com. That's S-A-G-E theater.com. And then there's a link right there to buy tickets. The show is at the Pump House Theaters, which is, it's basically underneath Crowchild Trail, but right by the river. So you might want to Google that just before you drive down. And what else to say? What was your other question? Was the Night of the Times. It's at 8 p.m. most nights, and our matinees are at 2 p.m.
Yep, matinees 2 p.m.
The other thing I was going to mention was this is a debut question or a debut piece of information here for you, is that on Tuesday night, so that's the 19th, I think. There's going to be a Talk Back Tuesday where we're going to have Fiona Staples, Riley Rossmo, Ryan Ferrier, Nick Johnson, Tyler Jenkins, and hopefully I'm not forgetting one's name. Oh, Ben Rankle. All there to talk about what it is to be a comic book artist today in comparison to being a comic book artist in Kirby's day. So the audience will have a chance to compare and contrast what what Kirby's past was and what our current present is like.
That's a fantastic idea. Like, not only are you getting some top names and up and coming names in the comic industry, but they all just happen to be good old Canadians who live in Calgary and Calgary area.
Yeah, I'm lucky that these people are friends of mine, so I was able to ask them.
Nice. So what kind of portrayal, without giving too much away, obviously, I guess some people would say, is there a fair portrayal of sort of Stan Lee's, you know, role in Jack Kirby's life in the career? Is it more 90% obviously Jack Kirby, or like how did you play that off? Because I'm sure there were moments where you wanted to pull one way, but sort of had to keep steering the ship in one direction.
That's a good question. I think I would say that. So for one thing, so much of this play does have basis in history. Like there are sources for a lot of the information that we have here. So. I think the play does a pretty good job of representing most of what we know to be true. There is a dream sequence, and so that we know is pretty much fictional. But it's near the end of the play, and it's much more a coda or an exploration of the themes. Stan himself, I think, does not come off as a villain. I think in the perspective, like, whether... I think it's fair to say that Stan perhaps could have given Jack more of the credit or more of the fame that than he did. I think also at the end of the day, Stan would probably prefer. I'll just start again. Hopefully, you can edit that part out. I think that Stan would wish that Jack could have played along better. And then maybe Jack would have been as successful. Because I think, here's the thing. Ultimately, I don't think Stan comes off too terribly bad in this production, or at least any worse than he already has, is because at the end of the day, there's a tragedy here as well about Jack, is that Jack has a lack of perhaps awareness of the scope or an impact of his work. And that sort of tragic flaw is what leads him to make choices that go maybe against the kind of fame that he maybe deserved. I don't begrudge him that. I think he made the right choices that he could at the time. But there is sort of with the hindsight of history, it becomes a tragedy.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting, like, just your chatting there, there's sometimes there's no easy way to put it. You just sort of, you know, like, we all sort of fumble and try and find that right thought. And I think it's interesting how life, in a sense, imitates art. You know, look at it like 50 years later, right? And here's, well, all of a sudden we're talking about Stan Lee and we're very lightly using the word villain in the same sentence, where, as we all know, through classic comic lore, the villain always has the best of intentions, right? And maybe perceived as a villain, but really at the end of the day, isn't, right? So I thought that was interesting, just the way you'd put that, right? Now, if people want to reach out to yourself or even just get in contact again, why don't you let them know where they can find you on Twitter, Facebook, all the social stuff, and go from there.
Yeah, so you can find actually a lot of my comics work. When I'm not doing theater, I do comics, and that's at fightcomics.ca. And then I'm also on Twitter at typewriterjason, just as it sounds. It's way too long. Maybe I should change that, but typewriterjason. I think those are my main internet locations. And then Sage Theater itself is at sagetheater.com. Its Twitter is sageyyc. I'm in both places, so you can get a hold of me in all of these locations.
Nice. Well, Jason Memel, comic writer, producer, director of King Kirby, thank you very much for being on, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.